To the fourth chapter of Luke, we've been studying about Luke and the man Luke and some of the things that he wrote to us in the book of Gospel of Luke and in the Acts of the Apostles. Those are his two portions of scripture that he wrote for us, 52 chapters. And it's kind of a continuous chronology from the before the birth of Christ until the time Paul was held prisoner 2 years at Rome. In the book of Luke, we are looking at a sermon, Jesus' first one that we have a record of, in Luke 4. That's where I want you to go. I think we came across 21 sermons that Luke referenced in both the book of Luke and in the book of Acts. So he was impressed by sermons and what was said. We'll read about from verse 16, just a second. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is Isaiah 61 and half of verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped and he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. We'll stop there. We came to this fourth point last week of this, in this sermon, the recovering of sight to the blind. And we didn't finish our thoughts there. We'll finish them here this morning. So if you'll turn to Ephesians 1, we'll get back to where we were. And there Paul prays a prayer for that our spiritual eyes be enlightened. And we'll start in Ephesians 1:17. And it says there that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And note this part, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavens. So we begin talking about eyes of faith last week, a term not found in Scripture, but a teaching found all throughout Scripture, that the eyes of our understanding, our eyes of faith, be enlightened. And so go to Hebrews 11:1. In the first verse, of Hebrews 11, where we are introduced to some of the Old Testament worthies of faith, it says, and it defines faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we mentioned last week in closing that the scripture defines eyes of faith, which call us those things which be not as though they were, is what exactly what Abraham did in Romans 4:17. And Abraham, we also mentioned, and you know this in previous lessons, and even mentioned it last week, I think, that Abraham is noted to be the father of those who also walk in the steps of faith. That's found in Romans 4:12. Read the fourth chapter of Romans. It's all about Abraham in his faith. Now, you're still in Hebrews 11. We find in Hebrews 11:10, we are told that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So how did Abraham see this city? With his eyes of faith. And all full overcomers that we find in Scripture have eyes of faith. New Testament worthies of faith will be in the bride of Christ. They have eyes of faith. They walk by faith. These eyes of faith see things afar, like the Old Testament worthies of faith did. And if you're still there in Hebrews 11, it says it like this in Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They saw them afar off by their eyes of faith, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Go to the Song of Solomon for a moment, the first chapter. Song of Solomon 1:15, we read this statement. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. We're talking about eyes of faith. But the dove's eyes symbolize discernment by the Holy Ghost. And dove's eyes are far-seeing eyes, seeing things yet future. The substance of things hoped for, faith, the evidence of things not seen. So what we read there in Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is by the power of the Holy Ghost that our spiritual eyes are opened, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And I'm going to have you turn to John 16. Also in 2 Corinthians 4:6, we read this, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost empowers the full overcomers to take in the full portion of the glorious gospel of Christ and guides the full overcomer to become the bride of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's why we have him in this present church age. Furthermore, it is the Holy Ghost's job to reveal unto us the truth, which The point being of becoming the full overcomers from the church age, who will be in the bride of Christ. And in John 16:13-15, Jesus taught about the Holy Ghost. There's other places he did too, but he says this: "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Ghost, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth." That's his job. "For he shall not speak of himself." James, you pointed this out. "He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." His focus was, like James said the other night in his testimony, pointing out Christ. Okay? Did I say that right? Okay. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." That's his job. "All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." So we find that the truth of what we said above is how that the whole, by the power of the Holy Ghost, the spiritual eyes are opened and made into those dove's eyes that we read about in the Song of Solomon 1:15. Now, all of this discussion about the dove's eyes and the eyes of faith brings us to one final thought about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bringing to us the recovering of sight to the blind. That's found in Luke 4:18. And this takes us to the thought of the full overcomers from this church age who are full of eyes. This statement, full of eyes, is found in four scriptures. And I'll give you these as we go along here. These four scriptures describe the bride of Christ. Go to Revelation 4. And in Revelation 4, depends on what kind of version of the Bible you have, you find the four living ones or the four living creatures. And in our King James Version, it's called four beasts. And in Revelation 4:6, we read that these living ones were full of eyes before and behind. And in Revelation, we read that they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." So we find here that they are worshipers, because those in the bride of Christ will be worshipers. And notice that their eyes, they were before and behind and within. This means they could see the past, they could see the future, and they could see the present. But more precisely, they could see the Lord's handiwork in the past, both in the distant past and in the past in their own lives. Have you ever thought about your own life up to this point? I hope you think about it. What have you learned? And what do you appreciate of the Lord's handiwork in your life up to this point in time? You know, eyes of faith, what has been worked in your life. And then these overcomers, the bride of Christ, could see what is in store in our future with the Lord, his mighty eternal work. And just as important as they can see the Lord's hand in the past, they can see the future. And then they latch on to such verses as 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which most of you probably know. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That concerns the present, doesn't it? In everything. It includes the future, too. And then, you know this one, Romans 8:28. It's a verse that drills down to this present spiritual eyesight of the full overcomer. A verse we're all pretty much familiar with. And we know something. And that is that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't love God. And we know we're called to his purpose, and we're here learning more about that. In Revelation 4:8, notice that they, these living creatures, they are the bride of Christ in essence. They rest not day and night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." The "which was" tells of their eyes behind, and "is" tells of their eyes for the present time, and "that which is to come" tells of their eyes before. These are, again, their dove's eyes, their spiritual eyes of faith that we have been examining. And I mentioned that there were four scriptures that spoke of full of eyes. I'll give you the reference to the other two. They're found in Ezekiel. One's in Ezekiel 1:18, and the other's in Ezekiel 10:12. But this is the same company of full overcomers, and there they are found, full of eyes round about. They see things by their eyes of faith. And now before we move on, and in this discussion about the eyes of faith, because it's a big one, and it's a good one to meditate upon, let's also make note that our natural eyes need to focus in order to see things properly. And if you have good eyesight, thank the Lord. Because there's people that don't, and they struggle to see things properly. But our spiritual eyes need to properly focus also in order to see things that we're supposed to see. So where's your focus, I guess, is the question. If your focus is Jesus, you're doing good. All the worthies of faith found mentioned in the Old Testament had eyes of faith focused upon things above. And the same will be true of the New Testament full overcomers. Simply put, the bride of Christ will be found looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of her faith, our faith, it says. That's noted in Hebrews 12:2. And don't just read it real fast. You should be looking unto Jesus, because he's the author and finisher of our faith, our race course. We want you. You made a prayer in your one time somewhere in your life. I'd like your best. You know, okay, he'll let you have it, but it's by faith. He wants you to be worthy of faith. Earlier, we mentioned in Hebrews 11:10 where Abraham's focus was, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham saw this by faith, because Abraham had eyes of faith. So what are you looking for? And what has your attention? And where is your focus, in other words? What are you looking at? We all have to ask ourselves this kind of question. have a discussion with yourself. What's occupying my mind and time? Today, tomorrow, if the Lord tarries, last week, did I waste a bunch of time focusing on the wrong things? You know? Well, we don't know. I mean, you got to ask these questions. But the full overcomers are looking up. Moses, you know, he was a man of faith. He's found in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And at the edge of the Red Sea, with that multitude he was leading right behind him, Moses said unto the people in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. It hadn't happened yet. He had eyes of faith to believe that it would. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. This hadn't happened yet. He had eyes of faith to believe that it would. He says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. That's Exodus 14, 13, and 14 again. Moses had eyes of faith, didn't he? So where was his focus? He was looking up. And if you read the rest of the story in Exodus 14, you'll see that Moses did what the Lord told him to do. And it was Moses' job to believe God, and it was God's job to dry up the Red Sea. And God did. And they walked across on dry ground. Which, Hebrews 11:29, it says this of Moses and the children of Israel. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which, when the Egyptians assailed to do, were drowned. They weren't drowned on dry land. That sea collapsed on them. Now, Moses was in his 80s when this happened. And last week, our pastor, I had this in my notes last week, he preached what we was going to talk about if we hadn't ran out of time, about David. And David, you know, Moses was 80, but David was a youth when he went up against that God-defying giant named Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And our pastor went over this very well last Sunday morning. You don't have to be old to trust God. He was just a stripling, it said there in that portion. Read it. Who is a stripling? Young man. Where was David's focus? Well, God knew that David, even as a youth, as that stripling, he was a man after God's own heart before this day in 1 Samuel 17. And you can see that if you study Acts 13:22 and 1 Samuel 16:7. And where do you think David got his encouragement? And this is not in my notes, but I've talked about this before. Mom. I know your dad wants you to go out and watch them sheep, son, and you're going to be by yourself. You better be talking to the Lord. He'll take care of you out there. How about that lion and that bear? He didn't think nothing of it. He let the Lord take care of it by his hand, didn't he? So thank you, mothers, for your good instruction. I have one sitting here who gave me good instruction, you know. So are you like David, seeking God's best in your life? A man after God's own heart looks up, and perhaps it was David. It was David who wrote in Psalms 121:1, I will lift up mine eyes and look into the hills, from whence cometh my help? Things future, Yes, but he had eyes of faith to see this. These are spiritual eyes of faith that David used to see before it happened. Go back to 1 Samuel 17. And David seeing what was going to happen to Goliath before he had this victory over Goliath. He had eyes of faith. And our pastor again talked about this last Sunday. 1 Samuel 17:45. He's speaking to Goliath. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." That's eyes of faith. "I will smite thee," eyes of faith. "I will take thy head from thee." He saw that by eyes of faith too. "I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." We need to trust the Lord for the battle, whatever it is. You know, we have Red Seas, and we have Goliaths. We face the giants in our lives many times. And it might be this week, and it might have been last week. Those were pretty strong words for a teenager, wouldn't you say? So again, here in 1 Samuel 17, David wasn't trusting in David, but by faith he believed that the Lord would give him this victory. And David had eyes of faith to see the future. And the Lord gave him this victory over Goliath. And 1 Samuel 17:50 says it like this. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. Now you can believe it or not believe it, but that happened. You know, if you don't see that this happened, you're not seeing the things behind with your eyes of faith, because it did happen. And the children of Israel did cross the Red Sea, and they're still trying to figure out how they cross the Red Sea. And they didn't cross the Red Sea in 3 feet of water. You know, that 3 feet of water, you know, was frozen on both sides. If you really read the scripture, it was congealed. And it was more than 3 feet. It might have been 60 feet. I don't know how deep it was. And nevertheless, Pharaoh and his armies drowned in that water. So now go to Joshua 2. And I know you know the story in Joshua 2. You find there the story of the eyes of faith of Rahab. She perished not with those of Jericho who believed not. And she's recorded in the Old Testament worthies of faith in Hebrews 11:30. And note part of what she said in Joshua 2:11, because you see her eyes of faith here if you look at it. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She saw that. And this confession of faith took her to the place where she became one of the great grandmothers of Jesus. Did you notice that she was looking up? The Lord your God. He is God in heaven above, that's looking up, and in earth beneath. That's seeing things in the present too, isn't it? Those are eyes of faith. I hope you're getting something out of this. Go to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. We all need to hear this. Time and time again, refresh our own hearts, with fresh our own eyes of faith. And here in the, I had you turn to 2 Kings 6, I believe. This is an Old Testament worthy of faith too. It is a story of Elisha when he was at Dothan. And the king of Syria had sent forth horses and chariots with a great host. Oh me, oh my. Who came by night and surrounded the city of Dothan. And then we read in 2 Kings 6:15, and when the servant of the man of God, that was the servant of Elisha, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots. They're surrounded. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do? In other words, he's probably said, he had a little bit of nervousness in his voice. He said, how are we going to do that? You know. And Elisha, he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, note this, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Elisha saw this with his eyes of faith. If we could see with our eyes of faith, we're encompassed about with a great cloud of witness.
Amen.
Aren't we? I hope you see that. So, go back to Luke 4. There's a lot of stuff we got out of that little few words. The recovering of sight to the blind in Luke 4:18. And this brought us to the long discussion we've had in the last two Sundays concerning eyes of faith. But we also know that we haven't finished our race course yet, so we must continue running our race and laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, unbelief, and continue running with patience the race that is set before us, continually looking with our eyes of faith unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and finisher of our race course. That's what we must do if we want to be a full overcomer. Look up. Look up. So in your conversations, I'm sure, when we talk with one another, how you doing? The Lord's helping me this week, you know. I'm looking for the Lord to come. Those are your eyes of faith that see these things. Look up. Now the next point, the fifth point in Jesus' sermon at his home synagogue there in Nazareth, is also found in Luke 4:18. And this point says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The Greek word bruised here is a, you know, we said there's a lot of things that are unique to Luke, a lot of stories that are unique to Luke, and there's a lot of words that are unique to Luke. And this Greek word bruised is unique to Luke. It's the Greek word throuo, throuo. It's number 2352 in the Strong's Greek Concordance, and it's the only time that this word is used in Scripture. You'll find the word bruised again, but not the same Greek word. Throuo, here translated bruised, means to break or wreck break in pieces, shatter, smite through, and it speaks of broken by calamity. That's a lot of meanings for that word, bruised. The thought points to what Satan has done to the human race through sin and the yoke of bondage brought on because of sin. Go to Isaiah 58. We're going to run out of time here, but you got time to turn there. Isaiah 58, 6. And we get the kind of a connecting thought here. It says in Isaiah 58, 6, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the band of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke?" Only our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ could set the oppressed free and break the yoke of bondage of sin, which is exactly what he did on the cross at Calvary. And I'll give you two more scriptures. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read them to you. Romans 8:2, if you're taking notes, and Galatians 5:1. Romans 8:2 says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Also in Galatians 5:1, instructs us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So the whole point of this fifth part of Jesus' sermon was to emphasize the grace of God. And this was the fifth point of his sermon. The number five is a number that points to grace, right? What a coincidence, huh? No, that's the way the Holy Spirit designed this. And here in his hometown synagogue, Jesus was pointing out to them facts about the grace of God manifest in Christ Jesus, who was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, as we are told of him in John 1:14. Also in John 1:17, we read, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." I trust you got something out of this morning.